So here's the question. Have lockdown payments created a nation of dole bludgers? Because businesses are telling me that they're struggling. They are struggling to fill huge numbers of vacancies. And they say that the government COVID payments have encouraged workers to sit on their asses, and they've stopped people taking new jobs. Hundreds of businesses around Australia are saying that they cannot find anyone to work because government pandemic payments have created a nation of bludgers. And business owners are saying that they're furious. Owners and managers across several industries across Australia are saying that lockdown and lockdown payments have made it too easy for people not to work. Now, our employment expert is Graham Wynn. And I spoke to him late last night and he talked about this. The other thing that we talk about is renewable energy versus coal fire energy. And now everybody's talking about hydrogen and nuclear energy. Just how many jobs is the hydrogen and nuclear industry going to create? And the other question I pose to Graham Wynn is, have we turned into a nation of bludgers because the government looked after us just too well during this pandemic? I spoke to Graham Wynn late last night. Well, all the talk around Australia as far as energy is concerned, alternate energy as opposed to coal fire energy is now surrounding the debate about hydrogen and nuclear. You know, it's not a new debate. It's been going on for a long, long time. But renewable energy is a great idea, but it's pie in the sky stuff right now until they get the technology right. I mean, the point is, if the wind doesn't blow, the turbines don't spin, and if the sun doesn't shine, solar panels are useless. So there is a bold new plan to bring around production of clean hydrogen in New South Wales, and also to look further into the possibility of creating nuclear power plants, which, by the way, they're not used until 15 years after the first sod is turned. So it's all a bit into the future, but that's where we've got to be looking. The hydrogen plan is a $3 billion plan for New South Wales. And of course, if it's popular, other states will look at it. Graham Wynn, our employment expert, is with me. Graham, good morning to you. You've had a close look at this. The $3 billion hydrogen plan, how many jobs realistically is it going to create at first and then sustain? What are your thoughts?
Look, it will create jobs in the long term, certainly. And they got some consultants in to do a bit of modelling to find out, okay, how will this actually work employment-wise? And the numbers they came back with, in this industry, it would create around about 16,000 people in 2040 and around 3,000 people in 2030. So we're looking at about 20,000 jobs there, of which the majority won't be until around about 2040. So it's a long time in the future. So if we're looking to actually impact employment at the moment, this is not it. Certainly long-term, great, and for the environment, et cetera. But as far as immediate impact on the job situation, zero. And of course, there's a trade-off. What industries will close down or not have as many people? So what would be the net result of actual new jobs created as well?
So is it a good idea? We're talking about clean hydrogen. There is, of course, hydrogen that's created through coal-fired power stations, but this is green hydrogen, which is going to be powered by renewable energy. And I just said renewable energy isn't reliable.
Look, everyone wants it. No one wants to pay for it, of course. That's another study done recently. Most people said, yep, we love the idea of this renewable energy as long as we don't have to pay more. And it will cost more. That's been, many studies have shown that. So it's one of these great ideas that we all want it, but how much do we really want it? Are we doing it because we think it's the right thing to do? Or do we really want this? That's the real dilemma I think people have.
Yeah. Chris Kenny is hosting a debate, and it's a clean energy debate on Sky News coming up October 25, and I'm going to be very keen to talk to him about this, but he says that activists and politicians often tell you that net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 is going to be easy. And in fact, he says it's a big lie. And people love renewable energy. Why not? If we could power our lives on endless sunshine and wind, wouldn't that be fantastic? But as I said, the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine, it doesn't work. So now we're looking at also nuclear power points and nuclear power plants. In other words, Australia sits on the second highest deposit of uranium in the world. We export it to countries that are using it for power, we hope. we trust. We plan to run nuclear submarines as well. How efficient is nuclear power, and how efficient will it be at creating jobs?
Look, it's extremely efficient. Studies have shown that, and again, it will create jobs. But this is so far going down the track. This is many, many years, decades in the future before this creates jobs. So we're really not going to see any impact on the economy immediately. But yes, nuclear power, from the reports I've read, it's as safe as anything. It's reliable. And therefore, there's no issue with it. I think people have an ethical issue with it or a fear issue with it. But reports have shown it's reliable, it's safe if done properly, and there should be no concerns with it. And as you say, we've got the resources to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to watch. And the other thing is, are there votes in it? I mean, if you ask your constituents, would you like zero emissions by 2050? But by the way, you're going to have to pay more on your mortgage, more for everything. Vote for me. It's not going to work.
No. And that's what it will come down to. I think a lot of people from studies say, yes, we want it, as long as it doesn't cost us any more. Yeah. Because people, everything is price driven. We all say what manufacturing will buy Australian made, but if it's half the price made in China, they'll buy the Chinese product. It's just how people work.
Yeah. There was just changing the subject. There was a story in A Current Affair the other night, and I know that you've seen it, and it was about a bloke who was finding it absolutely impossible to find workers. And he says that because of JobKeeper and because of the lockdown payments, he says, unfortunately, now in Australia, we have too many bludgers out there sitting on the couch on the government's handouts. This was according to this bloke, Paul Policari, on A Current Affair. He's the owner of that Stripco powder coating place. Does he have a point?
He certainly does have a point, yes. I was actually talking to a new client I picked up today, and they were saying they've never experienced the difficulty in finding staff at the moment. They're just putting an ad on Seek and getting one resume. That's all they're getting. There is just not enough people looking for work at the moment. And if you think back to normal unemployment, they get around the 500 and something per fortnight thereabouts. Those people who currently lost more than 20 hours of work are getting 750 a week. It's a huge increase what they would normally get from being unemployed. So there's no incentive for these people to actually go and find work. And I talked to a lot of employers and a lot of other recruiters, and we're all saying the same thing. We have never known it as difficult as now to get staff for employers. And I've run this business now for 13 years, and this is the toughest I've found it. I think you remember last week I said to you that those people, we did a quick analysis, those people receiving benefits who'd applied for jobs we were advertising, who we tried to contact to arrange interviews, 78% didn't even respond back to us.
It's amazing. I've got a mate of mine who has a pool business, and we're friends on Facebook. So for the last 3 or 4 months, I've seen him running the same ad. He's looking for people. He'll train you on the job. They provide a vehicle and a phone, superannuation, holiday pay, sick pay. And after you learn sufficiently the tricks to the trade, $77,000 a year.
Nice.
He can't find anyone.
Yeah.
He cannot find anyone. He's been running the ad for 3 months.
Yeah, and this is the problem. I mean, this client I picked up today, we're looking just for customer service people to work in an office. That's all it is, and they can't find people. And that's in Melbourne. They just can't find people. I've got another client who's happy to take on like a trade assistant to train him to do fabrication, and he can't find somebody. There is just a real shortage of not just skilled people, but people wanting to work. That's the real issue. There is a shortage of people looking for work.
Graham Wynn is with us, our employment expert. Just quickly, Graham, it's an ongoing ordeal, this. That is, the legalities surrounding sacking the sacking of staff if they fail to get vaccinated. Australian workers who refuse to be vaccinated against COVID, can they be legally sacked? And what happens if if a boss employs somebody that isn't vaccinated and somebody gets sick and dies of COVID, can they be sued? What's the latest?
Well, there's two or three points there, Luke. And the simple answer is that, yes, if your employer, which they're allowed to now mandate employees, everyone's doing it, Qantas are doing it, PricewaterhouseCoopers employ 8,000 people, have told their staff, if you're not jabbed by Christmas, you won't have a job here. It's becoming across the board now every employer is doing this. So, yes, they can insist on it, Luke. And the issue is, the second point, it's about all of a sudden covering themselves. Because if someone comes in and gets sick, who wasn't vaccinated and they hadn't made sure this person couldn't spread a disease on or catch it from somebody else, they become liable. So more and more employers, it's not a legal law yet from the government, but Fair Work have said, yes, they can insist on it. And when we do our registrations for our job seekers to form that to register with us, there's now the question on there, are you jabbed? We're asking that question now because so many employers are insisting on it. We have to find out now, and we're legally now allowed to ask that. We can't ask date of birth, but I can ask you, have you had a COVID jab?
You can't ask, do you plan to get married? You can't ask what religion you are. You can't ask what sexual preference you are, but you can ask, are you vaccinated?
Absolutely, yes. Right. Because companies now mandating it, so therefore it's a requirement to work for those companies. You must be jabbed. So therefore we can ask that question.
Interesting times, aren't they, Graham? Graham, thanks again for your time. We'll talk again soon.
No problem, Luke. Take care.
Graham Wynn from Superior People Recruitment here on The Night Shift on Triple M.